Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
I just love hearing Orion Samuelson saying the words Busta Rhymes. Congratulations to Orion. 9:36, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Time for our weekly visit with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Kevin, good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning, Dean.
Good to have you with us. And COVID-19, once again, taking the top place in all of the headlines with the announcement of the President and Mrs. Trump testing positive. As a matter of fact, five other people who were at that Rose Garden ceremony announcing the Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett also testing positive. I'm guessing that you've been following it. I'm guessing you've been listening to what the doctors have been saying. What's your take on what's going on with everything so far?
Yeah, I've definitely been following it closely, obviously, because everyone wants to know. And I find it very interesting. I think you're going to probably see more people test positive from that Rose Garden event. If you look at where people were seated and then afterwards how close they were all talking, someone obviously there was infected and certainly passed it on. You know, as far as what we're hearing from the doctor for the president, yeah, he's kind of between a rock and a hard place, and I kind of feel a little bit sorry for him. Certainly there's, you know, the patient's privacy issues. I am sure he was told this is what you can say and this is what you can't say. And we have to balance the patient privacy issues and balance that with the public's right to know about the health of their leader. And it's a very difficult situation. But I'm a little bit more concerned than I would say the rosy picture that's been brought out.
Chief of Staff Mark Meadows was interviewed on Fox News and said that the president had a fever on Friday and that his oxygen level had dropped rapidly. He also added that the president has made, quote, unbelievable improvements from yesterday. Is that consistent with what happens when somebody tests positive? What normally happens to a person when they test positive? What are the kinds of symptoms that we see?
Yeah, so sometimes when they test positive, they obviously are on no medication and nothing is being done for them. And then when we start to do things like treat their fever, give them some supplemental oxygen, do some treatments for them to make their breathing a little bit easier, certainly they're going to get better. We know with this illness, though, the scary thing is that some individuals get better and then crash rapidly. So as this virus is replicating in your body, certainly we can eliminate some of those early symptoms. But if we haven't slowed down the replication of the virus, or if your immune system is not strong enough, then certainly we're going to see this big rebound as we start to see the virus take over more. For him, it'll be interesting, Dean, because, you know, he's getting the kitchen sink thrown at him, you know, more than any other patient probably in the world. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
I mean, in terms of the treatments that he's getting right now, he's getting treatments that the average person would not get who tested positive.
Correct. You know, so remdesivir, you know, we've talked about that a lot of times. That's a drug that's still in clinical trials, but has been given emergency authorization, use authorization, EUA. So he has gotten that, which would be an appropriate drug for him to get if he were even John Q. Public. The other one, the Regeneron, is the one that's kind of interesting. That one is still in trials.
That's the antibody therapy that he's getting, right?
Correct. The one that they're calling the polyclonal cocktail that they're throwing at him.
Okay.
You know, that's made by Regeneron. It's in a very small study right now, 275 people. So for him to get that, they had to go to the FDA and get something called compassionate use because it had not been approved yet for the general public use.
So the president released a video on Twitter talking about how he's doing, and very positive. I'm doing great. I feel like I could walk out of here. I don't know. Did you see that video, Kev?
Yep. Yep, I did.
So what's the, nothing political related to that, but, I mean, you know, when someone is checked into the hospital, is that how they normally look? Is that how, the demeanor of the person normally is? I'm just curious of how this compares to any other person who is checked into the hospital for COVID-19.
Yeah, he looked a little tired, certainly, but he, one of the things we look at signs and symptoms is one of them is called conversational dyspnea. In other words, can he talk with a complete sentence without taking a breath or without slowing down to breathe? And he, if that video was like 5 minutes long, he did not appear to have that at all. That's one of the ones where we start to say people get short of breath to a point where they can't complete a sentence. He didn't have that at all. So that's kind of reassuring from just watching the video. He had a fever. So we say, okay, they say now he hasn't had a fever, but it would be nice to know he hasn't had a fever and we haven't had to give him Tylenol or Advil or aspirin to bring that fever down versus he just doesn't have a fever. Yeah. So the signs and symptoms really over these next couple of days are going to be key.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what all the doctors are saying right now, that the next few days and the next week will, really tell the story on this. What do you expect will be happening in the treatment of the president?
Yeah, he'll continue to get the remdesivir, obviously, and then really that's going to be the borderline step right there. I'm sure that they've probably given him steroids as well to try to decrease any inflammation or chance of inflammation in his lungs. But besides that, as far as treatments, that's probably about it right now. And now they're really just going to be keeping an eye on him, trying to get his nutritional status up. You don't know what his vitamin status is. He's been known to not be the healthiest eater. So they've probably given him some vitamin cocktails as well. And that'll probably be the extent right now, is they just monitor him very closely for his oxygenation, his respiratory rate, and his white blood cell count.
They're saying that the First Lady is doing well. Is the president's gender have something to do with this, his age, and the fact that he is overweight?
100%. The First Lady, if I'm not mistaken, is 50 years old and looks to be in fairly good health. So if you look at the president, risk factors, certainly 74, definitely a risk factor. Obesity, one of the risk factors that we have noticed routinely throughout this illness is that obesity is a very high risk factor for him. And he's male. So we have those three. We don't know about heart disease, but it would not surprise me that he has high blood pressure just from looking at his body habitus and knowing his exercise routine. So if that's true, he would have three or four strikes going against him right now.
So, among those who have also tested positive are the former advisor to the president, Kellyanne Conway, Republican Senators Mike Lee of Utah and Tom Tillis of North Carolina, also Notre Dame president, Reverend John Jenkins, all of these people who were at the Rose Garden ceremony for Amy Coney Barrett, who apparently had tested positive much earlier in the pandemic. And, would that make her not at risk among all of these spreaders who were in one place and shaking hands with her and, talking to her without masks?
Well, we certainly hope so, right? But we know now that there have been a few cases of someone who had the disease, got over the disease, and got the disease again. So we don't know enough as far as how long your immune system will keep you immune to the illness. And if I'm not mistaken, she had it early in the summer. So you would think, boy, I would hope that she still has some immunity after this period of time. The other individuals, obviously somebody, when you get that many positives in that short of a period of time, it had to happen at that event.
Yeah.
It would be like winning the lottery if they all happened to get exposed at a different time, especially knowing that at that time they weren't wearing masks, they weren't really dressed appropriately.
Yeah, and you know what a lot of people are saying that they are most concerned with former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who was also at that event, also tested positive. He drove himself to the hospital as a precautionary measure. He's got all kinds of risk factors, being overweight, his age, other medical conditions, including asthma, which I would think has to be difficult with something that is such a respiratory disease, right?
Absolutely, 100%. You know, Chris Christie, who obviously should be probably even more concerned than we are with the president. The other thing we didn't talk about, Dean, is the impact of stress on your immune system. And at this time, all of those individuals that we just discussed are certainly under a lot of stress, not probably getting the amount of sleep that they need, not eating properly. And really, that impacts your immune system. And right now, you want your immune system to be as high as possible and as tuned up as possible, because you need to start making antibodies to fight this off. Those are the individuals who are surviving this and are doing well.
So, you know, the other part of this story, I mean, everybody, you know, hopes for the president's recovery. All of the people who have tested positive, you know, we're hoping that they get through this and, you know, are healthy again. We can get back to life as normal. But bottom line of this whole thing is, I don't think there's been a single week that we've been talking about this, Kevin, since the beginning of the pandemic, where we didn't talk about wearing masks, social distancing, all the things that did not happen at this event in which so many people were apparently infected.
Yeah, you know, it's unfortunate that we needed to take this step to show that what we've been saying is actually exactly what science has been proving. So it's been very unfortunate, the impact that this might make on not only the government, but on all these individuals. If we would just have listened to the scientists, we wouldn't be in this position that we're in right now, which I just find, you know, so disappointing. You know, certainly all those individuals were tested before they went in, which just shows us that even, you know, Vice President Pence, his single negative test should not be a reassurance that he does not have this disease and it is starting to smolder inside him. You know, for him to say, I'm going back out into the public, boy, I certainly wouldn't want to be at one of those rallies right now, knowing that he was very potentially in very close proximity to many individuals who have now tested positive.
Oh, you mean I guess for lack of a better word, the incubation period of testing positive can be different with different people depending on your metabolism?
Absolutely, and depending on how much virus you have in your body at the time. And so if you think about it, let's just, these are just numbers just for illustration. Let's say I have one virus in the back of my throat, but I know that the test needs to have 20 before it can be positive. So I get tested, I have one, it's negative. I get to 10, I get to 15, I get to 20. Now I would be positive. That might take 2 to 3 days. So just because you've been initially infected doesn't mean that you're going to test positive immediately. It may take a couple of days of incubation before. So that's why I think you're going to start to see more people test positive that were at that Rose Garden event, especially those who, if you saw, not so much when they were sitting there, because you're only concerned then about the people right around you, but the interactions of people afterwards where they were shaking hands, giving hugs, talking very close face to face.
Yeah. I'm going to take a break and we'll come back with your questions for Dr. Kevin Most. But just to address one of the questions that has been texted in, 847 area code saying, are you talking about this to shame Trump? And let me just address this right now. We're not talking about this to shame anybody. We're not talking about this to say, I told you so to anybody. We talk about this every Sunday morning to protect you, to give you information so you can protect yourself. This is about arming you with the information you need so you don't test positive. That's all this is about. If you want to put some political motive in it, I can't control what people are going to think, but that's the intention of this that we do every weekend in talking about this, so we all understand better, so we don't wind up in the hospital. 9:53. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, 7:20 WGN with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital, answering your questions on all things COVID-19. A texter, Dr. Most, is saying, why wasn't the president hooked up to IVs? I've heard people say that. They were surprised to see him in street clothes and, not looking like a hospital patient.
Yeah, I'm sure that was, by his choice. Now, he probably had what we call a HEPLOC, which the IV was started and then just capped while he made his video. He obviously was on an IV at one time for the remdesivir to give the medication. But besides that, the only thing you really need the IV for is emergent use of any urgent medications or for his hydration status. Obviously, he's eating and drinking fine, so really it's just going to be for the delivery of the medication. And the remdesivir is given for 5 days in a row, so he got his dose, really doesn't need the IV anymore, so it was probably capped. It was probably still in him, but it was probably capped. And then he'll be receiving that again. But really, no other reason, unless he's going to be getting other medications on a continuous basis, to use the IV.
Here's Bill at 312-981-7200. Good morning. You're on WGN.
Thank you, Dean. Dr. Most, I want to thank you for doing the Sunday morning spots. I really appreciate all the information you give us. We've been told, and a lot of people have been saying, I'm going to go with the science. I'm trusting that, what the CDC and the WHO are saying in that. About a week and a half ago, I believe it was, the CDC, and I think it was even Dr. Fauci, said that now we are possibly expecting a vaccine possibly next month or December. And also the CDC coming out with the statement of that the virus actually being spread out of doors wasn't really so much an issue now. They said that that's what they meant to put, on their website initially, but they said it was entered wrong, and that they said with social distancing that masks would not need to be worn at all outside.
Let me jump in for just a quick second here, Bill, so we don't run out of time. Dr. Most, just the update on vaccines, is it possible there could be something within the next few weeks, as Bill has said?
Yeah, I think you'll start to see some good results on the large studies on the vaccine. I think the big one, obviously, the AstraZeneca, had been held off for a little bit. Moderna's still going. The Johnson & Johnson one, I think, is the one we're all looking forward to the results of that, because it's a single vaccine. So I think you'll start to see some results, because now these studies have been going on for over a month now. And Bill, to your other point, the aerosolized versus droplet, I know that's the one that's very confusing for all of us, especially in the medical population. We expect to understand that from the CDC and World Health Organization. What are we telling people? How far will this virus travel after we speak or scream or yell? And that's something that's very important that we need to get straightened out after the snafu with the CDC releasing that one comment.
Thank you for the call, Bill. This is Ron in Tinley Park. You're on WGN.
Yeah, thank you. A group of us seniors used to get together once a week to play cards, and obviously we haven't done it for a while. Can we now, if we wear masks and gloves, can we safely play cards? And if we do we have to sit 6 feet apart?
Ron, I certainly would stay 6 feet apart, and I certainly would wear masks. The social interaction for people is very important, and we know that, and the stress that it is putting on people. So you really need to make sure that you're as safe as you possibly can be. The wearing of gloves is interesting. The big thing with this is it's not important about the gloves. It's more important about it, whether you're touching your face and how you're doing that. So if you are going to do this, I would say please stay as far apart as you possibly can to still do it. Wash your hands frequently, and everyone should wear masks.
And also,
certainly, Kevin, stay those 6 feet.
If this group is playing cards, I mean, they're touching the same cards that each other are touching. And, you know, presumably, you know, you have a card and, you know, you throw it in, I take the card. You know, I don't want to know what kind of game they're up to with their high stakes games. But isn't it possible for the virus to be spread by touching these cards and then you touch your face off of something that you got on the card?
Yeah, potentially. If you're going to be as careful as you possibly can, use a brand new deck of cards. Everybody washes their hands and washes your hands in between games. The chance of spreading it in that is going to be extremely low. So the cards are not infected to begin with. Everyone's hands are clean. And at least, you know, I'm just trying to at least give somebody the safest possibility they can to have a social interaction and not spread the illness. And that would be being as cautious as you possibly can. Because I do think we need to have some social interaction with individuals here. So if you're not going to play cards, get together and just talk. So, but I mean, please think about that.
Yeah. Good luck with that, Ron, and thank you for the call. Appreciate it. And as always, Kevin, we appreciate you joining us today. What might we look forward to now in the next few days? Not look forward to, like we can't wait to see it, but what might we expect to happen with the president the next few days?
Yeah, Dean, I think it's really going to be, you know, tell us how he's progressing and tell us, you know, has he slowed the symptoms and have he at least stabilized? We have to remember, you know, he's 74. Everyone thinks, oh, at day 10, he's going to be running back and doing things. Those day 10, day 14 cases we're talking about are for the asymptomatic individuals. Here's someone who's 74 and has symptoms. I do not expect him at the end of this week to be back. If he is, that would be extremely surprising to me. But it should be right now, are we looking to see, is the illness progressing in him, or has the medications and his own immune system stifled it to a point of minimizing any symptoms he might have?
Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Kev, have a great Sunday. Thank you as always.
Dean, take care.